How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
Get ready for your unofficial dental hygiene podcast. These are the tales of two hygienists, one East Coast RDH and one West Coast Guygenist. Listen as they tackle the profession of dental hygiene with humor and enthusiasm. Now, please join Michelle Strange and Andrew Johnston as they tell you a tale of two hygienists.
And we're back.
Actually,
you know what?
We only feel like we're back because we're doing our intro after our interviews.
Well, I was thinking too, I was like, on the way home from work today, I was like, okay, I'm going to do the intro and I'm going to have all this energy and it's going to be all crazy. I'm like, welcome back to episode 81, blah, blah, blah. And then I was like, okay, because Michelle's going to be really tired. It's like 10 o'clock her time. What time is it? 10:30 your time right now?
10:30. So,
it's like 10:30 her time. She's going to be cranky and kind of pissy and I'll have to carry the episode as per usual. And then you were kind of peppy and then we had
to remind you about the last two episodes that were early in the morning. And
No one's listening to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think your audio is not working. I can't hear you.
Crispine said how he loved how chipper I was. And you were like, sounded almost hungover.
Yeah. Gosh, that was a bad one. Like I do remember that. And I think I even messaged you and said, I don't like my voice when it's that early. I do sound pretty terrible. So sorry, everyone. But thanks for hanging in there because otherwise you wouldn't hear me say, okay, let me tell you something that I realized. That it took me a long time to, probably longer than I should have known that. I asked my dad one time, I was like, Dad, how come like on the radio when they come back, they always say, hey, welcome back, blah, blah, blah. What if there was nobody listening? He's like, well, then they wouldn't hear you say welcome back. And I'm like, oh, that's why they say that. Now, it blew my mind as a kid to not understand.
Like, this one's special.
He's like,
he's the middle child.
I'm the baby. Come on.
Oh, you are the baby.
How do you not That's know right. my family history?
I forget. I can't keep up with all of it. You have too many kids. You have too many siblings. I just can't.
Yeah.
So this was, this is at 10:30, which is very different than the last few ones that we've had where I've been drinking coffee. Now I have my wonderful glass of rosé that was brought to me by the sweetest, most precious Leslie, our fan, that brought me this bottle.
Quit calling her a fan. Let's call her a friend.
Our friend.
And I will say best friend.
She is our friend now.
Because her and I are like besties. Oh, I hope.
Andrew.
Please.
One day we're going to have an intervention about your issues with friendships. And your jealousy.
I do have some issues. Please like me. But you can't like anybody else.
You're going to log on to this go-to meeting and it's going to be a bunch of us and we're going to have intervention. And we're like, Andrew, it's okay. We all like you.
We want you to know
like
that
me
we love
and
you.
And they can like you. That's how that works. We can all be friends.
I hope that there's a banner that says intervention hanging in the background.
I'm going to name the title of the meeting, Andrew's Intervention.
I would love it. I will love it.
Andrew's got some issues. Forever.
And then I hope we record it and then send it out on the podcast. And then it's my kids get to listen to it when they're older. And like, hey, dad had a meltdown. He has insecurities of friends.
When we're desperate for content, we'll put Andrew's friendship intervention as one of the episodes.
Oh, that's good. Oh, that's good.
So this interview or this episode was kind of a recap session because both you and I have always joked about how crappy our audio was, how we are still amateur podcasters screwing it up every week, a different shenanigan. But we had some really, really fantastic guests who gave us a chance. I still don't know why, but they did.
Yeah.
And we wanted to kind of do a recap with them since it's been like, I mean, this is episode 81 and some of them were number 2, 3 and like 6 or something like that. So
yeah. Remember I said 4 and 5 in the interview or 4 and 6, but she's actually number 5. I was right. I was hovering around for Angie. Yeah. So just throwing that out there. She's number 5.
Number 5, Andy Stone, number 5. We also had episode number 3, Doug Perry. We invited our buddy Trisha O'Hare, episode 2, but she is traveling and doing some really fun things right now. But we will have her back on eventually. But these are 3 people that really kind of, I mean, we screwed up audio. We screwed up so many things. And they hung in there. And we totally appreciate them. Because this is a labor of love, folks. It really is.
Might not seem like it sometimes. The abuse that I take from you.
Oh, Andrew. God, you're just being such a baby after work.
Dude, like, I am like all over the place tonight. It's cool. I'm fine. Poor Allison has to put up with this every night. Anywho.
I had a friend that has known me for a few years, but kind of just on the outskirts. And like, I'm starting to like hang out with him a little bit more. He's like, you know, Michelle, you're just kind of a jerk. And I was like, I think there's probably a few people that would agree with you. If you can't handle my sarcasm, you should probably just get off the train. I just can't.
Yeah, I can think of a whole list of people. What'd you do for the 4th? I don't think I ever asked you. On the boat,
I had a pool day. Actually, I started with yard work because, you know, nothing says happy birthday, America, like taking care of your yard. So did a little yard work and then had a pool day and then went on the boat and watched, like, because you can go, each island has, like, firework display. And so we kind of went into a part, like in one of the creeks or rivers. And so we could watch, like, we saw 6 different fireworks shows. Nice. So it was great. Yeah, it was nice. And there was a lightning storm, which was like 60 miles away from us, but it was so big, the storm, that it was like Mother Nature was like competing with all the fireworks. It was so fun.
I love it.
It was a good night. Yeah.
How does Lola do with fireworks? It was great.
She was not a happy girl last night.
Oh,
she's not.
Poor
I know.
Lola.
It's funny because she's like been fine up until like 2 years and she didn't like it. But she was fine on Monday night and I felt really bad for leaving her because my cousin who helps me take care of her came over and was like feeding her and was like, she's kind of panting and stuff. I was like, crap, I'm on the boat. Like, I can't do anything like now. Because she was fine on Monday night when everybody was shooting off fireworks around. I think it was just a lot more of it happening and just a little bit more intense.
Right.
I felt like a terrible dog mom.
Well, Finny, he did so much better this year. Last year was like Allison and the kids left. They went to the lake and it was just me and him. And I tried to take him out. And we were living in the apartments at the time, and there's all these cars parked, and like he would keep trying to like dart in between the cars that were parked and try and hide under them, and like it was really just like a miserable puppy. But then this year, Allison took him for a short walk. He did okay, but he was really pulling because he really wanted to come home. And then once he got inside the house, like he didn't run and hide like he has in years past, and he just kind of, I don't know, he just mellowed out a little bit. And truthfully, though, where I live, we can't have fireworks like right next door. They can't be right in the city limits. So, yeah, he did better though. So I was proud of him.
Good. Well, we hope everyone's dogs had a much better fourth.
From our dogs to yours.
Yes, from our dogs to yours.
I think we should
just... What'd you do for the
fourth? Who cares? I say we should just wrap up right here and throw to the episode. What do you think?
Hey, it gets me in bed faster, so I'm good awesome. With that.
So don't forget to put about minute
you,
9.
Thank you, Leslie.
Oh, and thank you, Leslie. Sorry we got sidetracked. We love you.
I just want to say thank you, Leslie, for bringing me that bottle of wine that might have been the sweetest thing in the world, and I'm enjoying it thoroughly.
It was sweet.
Delicious. Actually, Andrew just sent me, as I gulped the last thing down, he was like, chug, chug, chug.
No, that's not how you're supposed support. To read it. You're supposed to be like, chug, chug, chug. Yeah. Come on.
That was a little
read
more.
It correctly.
I didn't think it was so much cheering as condescending.
It was both. A mixture of the two. Okay, minute 9.5. We went to the episode. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Hey, Michelle.
Yeah?
It's time for the interview.
Oh, but I had something else to say.
We need to let the experts talk now.
Fine. Okay. So we are very excited to have Angie Stone back on the podcast, one of our first few guests, and we are so happy that you even took a chance on us two amateur podcasters. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you, you guys. Are you kidding? Take a chance on you? I was just like, hey, this is so cool. Let's get together and talk about stuff, right?
It worked out really well. I think we get a lot of feedback from your episode. So you know, yeah, we definitely awesome. Appreciate you, you know, coming out and hanging out with us for that night. And I re-listened to it recently. And yeah. Man, Michelle and I sound stupid. Oh, it's so embarrassing. And when I say Michelle and I mean really mean myself because I don't care about her. She always sounds like Michelle.
Yeah, I always sound
stupid. Well, I probably sounded stupid too. I mean, what did I know about doing a podcast either, right? I mean,
oh,
you
sounded awesome. Like, okay.
Baby podcasters.
Yeah.
For sure.
No, but we're glad to have you back on. And we kind of just wanted to recap. And I mean, it's been 80 episodes since you, well, we're on 80. Andrew, what number was she originally?
I want to say it's like 4 or 6 or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. So you're at least 70-something episodes later. How's high life? How is everything going? I know there's been some changes with bills passed, but we just kind of want to recap and like revisit and see how you're doing.
Oh my gosh. So thank you for asking me to come back on and to get caught up, because 70 some episodes, I mean, there's been a lot of time that's been, you know, that's gone by since that first time that we talked, and things are crazy good. So we've got, as you mentioned, Michelle, we've got some legislation in the state of Wisconsin that changed, which is really going to, give us a whole nother platform here in the state of Wisconsin. And I have oral care specialists now, I think, in 8 states. Wow. I think we're at 18. I think at the height we were at 20. Wow. We're finding that I'm learning about what hygienists want and what they don't want. And so, wow. So that's interesting. And, just building and, you know, interviewing, people to come onto our team, like attorneys. I mean, last month I interviewed 3 attorneys and wow. I interviewed 3 CPA firms and, you know, trying to decide who it is that we want by our side as these things grow. And so stuff that as a person that's trained as a hygienist, you know, that's my education. I never, ever thought that I'd be doing the things that I'm doing. So there you go. Do you have any questions that you want to specifically ask?
I'm curious, what did you learn that hygienists don't want?
Oh, boy.
Is it just they don't want the business side of it? They want the patient care side of it?
Yeah.
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 I mean, I feel like that would be my struggle. You know, like I could get used to it, but I don't know. I don't think it would come. It wouldn't be like something. I don't have a proclivity towards business at all.
Yes. And I think that, you know, with the popularity of people, dental hygienists wanting to do things either in addition to or instead of clinical hygiene, right? We hear that a lot. I mean, we all stood at booths and hygienists go, oh, I want your job. I want your job. And we're all sitting there looking at, well, if you really knew what our job was, right, you maybe wouldn't want
it. Right. It
looks glamorous. It looks glamorous, right? And it's really cool for the first year.
God, yeah.
And then you're like, this isn't so cool anymore. But I thought that kind of like, what is it? Field of Dreams in Iowa. If you build it, they will come. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I was thinking, well, if I build this platform and I give if I give hygienists like myself, right, the tools and the training and all that stuff to do this work, well, they'll do it. Right.
Right.
Well, kinda. I have a couple that are really, really rock stars, and they are, you know, they're really out there pushing the envelope. Most of us are too something to do that, and so I'm learning. And so I really think that as we move forward here, I know what kind of hygienists I have to attract. I have to attract those entrepreneurial ones. Mm. I have to do that in the interview process, right? I mean, I have to have some type of measurement to know, are these people going to be successful? Because the last thing that I want is for them to come on board with my mission.
Right.
And then say, you know, figure out that they're not successful, and I don't want them to not be successful, right? Because then that's a waste of their time and energy. So I have to do, you know, I have to do a better job of screening and understanding where they're coming from and why they want to come on board.
Yeah.
So let me just maybe ask kind of a clarifying question about that. So when you say entrepreneurial, is the disconnect coming in they just have a hard time working for themselves and going out and finding the clients to do that? Or is it the paperwork and the actual business management side of it?
Well, I think, Andrew, that it's, I think that mostly I would say that people don't want to go out and do the marketing. Hygienists don't want to go out and find their own business.
We're not good at selling and ourselves.
We're really not. It's not a skill that we're taught anywhere, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that we find it intimidating to walk into a place that you don't know anybody there, and that you're going to try and, you know, have someone listen to you and then buy your services. I mean, it's just not what we do innately as hygienists. And I think that if I developed a system, which there will be a system eventually, just going to take time, whereby we had a system for getting the clients and then telling the hygienist, okay, on Monday, you're going to go to ABC Care Community and you're going to see these 20 patients or 10, or, you know, it's brushing, right? So, I mean, when I say 20, people are like, oh my God, we're going to have to do 20 hygiene. No, it's different. But I think that, you know, that's really where most hygienists are comfortable. And although we say we don't want people to tell us what to do and we want to be independent and we want, it's like, no, we don't.
Yeah.
No, we don't.
Oh, I
we just
don't want
to be
I don't want any
under
of that
the
part
thumb.
Of it. Yes, exactly.
Right.
And we don't want to be micromanaged.
Mm-hmm. No.
I think that's what it, at least for me, I don't want to be micromanaged, but I do want, I want some kind of guidance and a sounding board almost. And when you are out there being an entrepreneur, you don't always have that sounding board and somebody to run to.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, that's what the High Life Oral Health Alliance is intended to provide. And so that's an interesting thing too. I offer, you know, monthly coaching calls with my oral care specialists. They can connect directly to me for 30 minutes a month and ask me anything they want. Doesn't have to be, you know, work related. It can be anything, right? And a lot of them don't even take advantage of that. I'm like, you know, we're here. And so, yeah, it's interesting. I think that we all have really, really, really great intentions. Mm-hmm. And we're all really, really good hearted as hygienists. And some people are better at some things than others.
Oh, absolutely.
So do you think there was somebody, let's say, okay, with the new bill passed in Wisconsin, and I mean, this is just going to take off in your own state. Do you think if there was someone that was out there doing that part of it and doing like a referral based system, that that would be beneficial?
I think so. I think that, you know, we need someone that's going to be, you know, almost like an account manager,
right?
Of sorts. And, you know, again, talking about, I'm talking about bringing on my first employees, and I'm talking, you know, I mean, so at what point do I need an account manager? For a while, I'll be probably doing that role here in the state of Wisconsin, and I'm learning what that role is. And then, I'm hoping that, some of my knock up, bang up hygienists are going to be able to step into some of those roles. And so I'm trying to create, you know, some more opportunities for the hygienists that are on board with us.
So what else is happening? I mean, so last time you were speaking a decent amount, like,
yes,
but you're giving your same webinars, or not webinars, your lectures. You have Dying from Dirty Teeth still.
Yes.
What are the other ones that people can kind of keep an eye out for?
And my favorite thing's dental hygiene style. I really kind of narrowed it down to that's one that Tepe is part of.
Was it called something different once upon a time?
My favorite thing's dental hygiene style. No,
My favorite things. Okay.
My favorite things, yes. And then .. dental hygiene style.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I really narrow it to those two. I don't want to, and this may sound silly, but I don't want to become the person that's known for, you know, oh, I'm going to add another course. Oh, so now Angie is, you know, talking about this and Angie's talking about that. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, Angie's got her lane that I've developed, you know, that I'm in.
Yeah.
And, that's the lane I want to stay in, because that's what I want to be known for, is primarily taking care of old people.
I'm happy to hear that. I'm happy to hear that, because I definitely have struggled, like, almost like, should I branch out? Like, should I have more CE, like, presentations? Because, you know, you always get people that ask you back, like, maybe RDH wants you to come back and lecture or something, and I'm just like, it's kind of still the same thing. Like, this is where I'm an expert or educated the most. So I'm actually, it's always kind of like made me feel like, am I just not being a go-getter, or am I being like happy being like comfortable or complacent? So I know you are not complacent, so I'm happy.
You know,
to hear
it really, I don't think Michelle, it's about complacency at all. Right. I think that there are a ton of people that have a message to share. And the last thing that I want to do is try and pick up something that I'm not the expert in. Right.
Right.
I mean, the
right.
last thing on the face of the planet I want to talk about is implants or pediatric dentistry or, oh, good Lord, shoot me now. Right.
Right.
It's like, why should I, you know, if someone wants that topic, I want to be able to say, oh, guess what? I don't talk about that. And my friend, you know, so-and-so is the expert. Right. And so to me, like trying to suck up all the topics that I possibly can, just so that I can, you know, be at the podium again next year. That doesn't make sense to me. That makes sense to me.
It makes my heart happy, because I literally it was like one of those things that it's not like it bothered me enough, but it bothered me to the point where when some certain conferences were asking me back and I was like, I mean, I kind of lectured already to these people. Like, I don't have anything else to give, because my lane is patient education and implants. So that's
right.
where I feel confident and comfortable. So I like you said, yeah. I don't want to go lecturing on pediatric dentistry or restorative, or even biofilm management to a certain extent, right?
Yeah, right. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, I don't think that I want to go to a meeting that has, and when I look at their schedule, right, I'm like, well, I saw that one last year, saw that one last year, saw that one last year, right? It's like, no. There's a bunch of us, and we all bring a very valuable message, and sometimes it's someone else's turn.
Well, and this also comes to a point that Andrew and I talk about all the time, which is having like a really good circle and a good uplifting group of people, because it's not always so friendly in the circles. And so having someone that you know will say, nope, not my expertise, go to this person or this person or this person, and that will really kind of lift you up and just everybody kind of helping everybody. It's so important, so valuable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you talk about those circles that you're like, they're not so friendly, ain't nobody got time for that, right?
Nobody.
It's like, not I'm sorry, I'm too old.
No time.
Not up in here. I'm too old and I'm not playing that mess. So if you're not going to help me uplift you and you're not going to uplift me,
got no time.
See you later.
It.
I got no time. And I mean, I don't want that to sound like, like ugly, right?
Don't start apologizing for it. I like what that's
up. I like
it
too.
Just leave it just as it is. It's exactly what needs to be said. Exactly.
Okay.
Because that's the way we feel too. It's, you know, here's what Michelle and I get a lot. Who are you guys? You guys are nobodies. What have you guys done? You're babies in the profession. You've done nothing. That's what we get a lot of. And we're like, okay, well, you know, maybe we're not experts in all things, but we have our little bit of expertise and we like it.
Uh-huh. And do you know what? Those people that you're talking to, whomever those people may be, they were babies once too. And I'm here to tell you that they didn't get their stuff hot by themselves.
Oh, I wish you could see you with your little...
And neither did I. Mm-hmm. I had help, right? I know. I'm like shaking my head.
Oh, we should start videoing this. This would be awesome.
You know, so, you can't do this by yourself. I mean,
no, you
have to be, people have to help people. And you know what? I'm not going to be speaking forever. I don't want to speak forever. So I'm hoping there's some babies that, you know some stuff that we can help bring forward. It's like, man,
absolutely.
I'm getting tired, right?
Can I put you on the spot for a second, Angie?
Yeah, of course.
So it's been... let's see, must have been January of last year or somewhere there when we did our recording. So it's been about a year and almost a half probably since your episode. In that year and a half, who are some of these babies that you're noticing starting to kind of come alive, whether it's on message boards or even, I know, I'm sorry. Do you want me to withdraw the question?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know me, Andrew. I'm like, you ask me, you're going to hear it, right? And, and it's like, you know, it may not be PC. I don't care.
That's what we love you. That's what we love you.
That's not me. And so you guys, of course, right? I've been watching for, you know, for quite some time. And Jasmine Haley.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
A good friend of ours.
Been watching Jazz for a long time. Love Jasmine. There are a couple, I have to think here. Jocelyn Sewell.
Yes, Josie.
Oh, Josie.
We love Josie so much.
I love Josie. She is, you know, in a position now where she's not, you know, out and about so much. But I'll tell you what, if you follow her on Facebook, the stuff that this woman is doing in both her professional and her personal life is nothing short of amazing.
If you guys, listeners, have not heard of her yet, seriously find her because she's really good. She did a really good one with... Howard Ferrand has a podcast, and he is really hard to have a conversation with sometimes. And so, but Josie did a really good job of keeping him like in line. She was talking about being on the autism spectrum. She was phenomenal. So seek her out, listeners, because she's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to look for that one.
Hygienist in Heels.
Oh, yeah. Hygienist in Heels is her hashtag.
It's her hashtag. Yeah. And then also, there's, I always like to look also to the Award of Distinction winners.
And watch, one right now.
Right?
Congrats.
And maybe that's why I look, why I look to them, because I know, you know, they're looking for movers and shakers, you know, in the field that have, you know, done things. And so this year's recipients include Kyle Isaacs. Mm-hmm. And so Kyle's lane is, you know, elder care like mine. I think she's doing fantastic things.
We have her coming up at Under One Roof, just so you know.
Oh, good.
I spoke to her today, actually. Good.
Her and I have been talking. Yeah. So that's good.
Excellent. And so, you know, I think when you say babies, you know, those are a few that come to my mind, although, you know, the Award of Distinction winners aren't typically babies, right? They've been, you know, oftentimes been doing things for many, many, many years, and maybe have just more recently stepped outside, you know, to do things in addition to one-on-one hygiene visits. And so, and there's some, I think there's some first timers speaking at Under One Roof as well, which I really like. I think Chris Potts is speaking on her, topic, prehabilitation for the oncology patient.
Wow.
I mean, right. Prehabilitation for the oncology patient. So, she's, you know, that's her expertise, that lane that she's developing. There's a reason for that. Personal experiences of hers with cancer things going on in her life, and so I really like to look and see who is new, and that maybe I can help mentor.
Absolutely.
So I have one question before we kind of wrap things up, and that, you know, we really are trying to engage the new grads and students. Do you have any words of advice for that demographic of hygienists who are in the stresses of hygiene school right now, or graduating? And I know that your expertise is in elder care, and I really always try to take my students or direct them to your website and to what you're doing, and that this is a patient population that is, it's so needed, beyond needed. Like, they're totally forgotten about in a lot of cases. So do you have any words of advice for our newbies?
Mm-hmm. Of course I do. I guess if my daughter was a graduating hygienist right now, or if she was maybe in her last semester, because we all know that last semester is like ridiculous, right? Mm. You're trying to get all your quotas and all your whatever they call those things. It's been 100 years, so I don't remember what they're called.
Requirements.
But you have to get all your stuff done, right? And I think the big thing that I would say is, like, play the game. Play the game while you're there, right? Just buckle down, put your nose to the grindstone, do what they tell you to do, and realize that once you get out in private practice, the game changes. I mean, it really does. I mean,
it does.
And Andrew, you are putting your head in your hand because you're
right?
Like, what the heck is she talking about?
No, this
but
is
it's
stuff
true.
We talk about
it's
in private,
true, right?
But we don't usually publicize all this.
Well, then don't put it out.
No.
Right? Don't put it out on the
way. No, we're absolutely,
it's all cool.
This is what needs to be said. No one's, no one's saying this.
What they have to do is the instructors in these schools are tasked with teaching to get us to pass the boards.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's the goal. That's the golden nugget. So you can pass those boards, right? Written and practical. And that's one of the things that frustrated me most about when I taught. I was teaching clinic and I'm like, what do you mean I can't teach them to use that instrument like that? Well, you can't use that in that part of the model. I mean, what do you mean? I'm like, I've been using it that way for 10 years. What are you telling me? And they wouldn't allow it. And I'm thinking, I know that this works probably better this way, right?
Yes.
But I also know that we have to have safe beginners, and I also know we have to pass the boards, right?
Right.
And so you're going to stress out over all of this stuff. And look at all of the hygienists that have done this before you, hygiene students, and passed. You're going to be fine. And then you'll get into the real world and things are going to pivot. It's kind of like being in boot camp and you think boot camp is the military. And then you get out of boot camp and you're like, oh, this is so not what I was taught.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was almost going to compare it to marriage, and especially coming from not being married. I have no business comparing it, but like getting for the wedding and the honeymoon, and then you get home and you're like, oh, it's you. And there's nothing to like it's just
still you.
It's still you. There's no parties. There's no new presents. There's nothing to plan. Like it's, now we have to live our life together and deal with all the stuff that goes along with it. So I kind of always
felt
like that with
my
students.
Life.
Yeah.
It is called life, you know, and we teach them, and it's kind of like your kids too. It's like when they live at home, they have to follow your rules, and you're teaching them all this stuff to do, right? And what they can't do and how they're supposed to act and how they're supposed to keep their clothes clean, and they're not supposed to, you know, do. And then they get out and they're like, what was she talking about? Because, you know, I mean, this is life, right?
Yeah.
It's life.
Yeah. Angie, life. I wish we had more time to talk to you. We love you so much. I love being able to run into you at all the conferences and seeing you all the time. It just makes me so happy.
I wish I had more time with you guys too. We really need to like go out and have dinner and stuff.
All right, I'm game. Whenever you are time. Hey, before we end this, can you give out your contact information one more time for all of our listeners?
Absolutely. It. My email is Angie at highlife, HYLIFEOHA.com. And my office line is 608-884-0038.
Sweet. I love when they give phone numbers.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah, call me. I mean, I maybe can't answer, but leave me a message. I'll get back to you.
Absolutely.
You're the best,
Well, thank you
Angie.
So much, Angie. You're the best. We love
you. Thanks, guys. Well, thank I love you guys, too. Wish I could give you both big hugs right now.
I know.
All right. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
So for part two of this recap episode, we have the one and only Doug Perry. Doug, thanks for coming back. Right. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Great to be back.
So as a refresher for our listeners, you were the very, very first recording that we ever did as a Tale of Two Hygienists, but you were episode number 3. Does that sound about accurate?
I can live with that. You know, anything in the top 10 on your guys' list is a victory for me. So I'm happy with number 3.
Well, you know what I'm going to do, Doug, as we're talking, I'm going to look up to see how many downloads you have, because I have a feeling you're going to be in the top 5 for sure. Sorry, go ahead and
amongst
yourselves for a minute.
Literally, we're our first interview. Like, Andrew and I barely even knew how to talk to each other on the phone, let alone, like, with a third party. And, like, we didn't know how to interview. We didn't know how to ask questions.
Yeah.
You
still
like,
don't, but
you were our guinea pig. Fine. You took a chance with us. We appreciate you for that.
Oh, well, hey, it was not a problem at all. In fact, I thought you guys did rather well for a troop that hasn't done anything together, or at least not brunch together. I thought you guys did really good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
So we kind of want to just
Doug, hold on. Time out. Let me interject here. So Doug, your episode has over 2,000 downloads now.
Whoa. Wow,
really?
Yeah. Yeah, by yourself. And it's, I mean, you're up there with some of our highest downloads. Our highest download has a little over 3,000. So you're not too far off from that. So, that's pretty good.
I know. Wow.
I have to say I'm a little bit surprised, not because of you guys, but just because I was surprised that many people would want to listen to what I had to say. But
are you kidding?
Well, your information is so valuable. I mean, that's how we get a job.
Well, I guess I feel like I'm a better writer than I am a speaker, and so I tend to feel like I'm pretty confident with a pencil in my hand. But in terms of you know, getting online and talking to people through video and things like that, it's not my strength. Or getting up in front of groups, I can do it, and I've offered to do it many times, but I stick with the pencil in my hand and try to create good content for people that will be valuable for them. And that's, you know, you got to go through your strengths, right?
Do you feel like it's getting easier though to get up and talk in front of people if you have to?
Oh yeah, yeah, and I haven't, I've never had a problem with it. It's just I don't feel like I'm overly dynamic, and you know, I don't have a lot of the voice fluctuation, and I'm not really overly excited, and I don't know how to project myself in a way that people are like, wow, that's really cool, you know. So I know how to do it. I just don't know how to do it. I don't know if that makes sense.
I've seen other people do it.
Yeah, and I see other people do it. I'm an event planner on my day job, and so I see and have to interview basically a lot of speakers, professional speakers, and that are very, very dynamic and excellent in front of a group. I know their techniques. I know how they do it. It's just not something. I guess I'm a great coach, but I'm not a great player. Maybe that's the way to put it.
That's funny. I feel like if you do figure that out, Doug, let me know, because I'm definitely not one of those dynamic speakers either. I think I have a lot to learn about that. I like coaching. I like sitting from the sidelines and giving, you know, advice and things like that too.
So. Right. Yeah. One-on-one, I feel very confident and no problem. But in front of a group, it's just kind of different for me. But I don't mind doing it. Those of you out there that are interested.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Doug, last time that we talked to you, I mean, we were talking about all kinds of different creative ways that you were helping people get their resumes out there and get noticed amongst all of the other hygienists trying to get jobs. And I have, it's kind of a two-parter question. One, are you still kind of keeping up with a lot of that same stuff, or have you come up with new, like, creative ways of doing it? And then also, how have you noticed that maybe the job market is getting a little bit better or easier to find jobs?
I've noticed that it has been getting, for clinicians, I've noticed that it is getting a little bit better. There's still a definite gulf there between the number of jobs and the number of job seekers. There's a lot of people out there, clinicians, who are still struggling to find jobs, and there is an oversaturation. There's no question about that. And it's not just in any one particular state, because I get orders to do resumes from all over the country and even in Canada as well. And so there's definitely that going on. It seems to be slightly better. I know that here in Utah, it's gotten a little bit better just from what my wife's experience has been, just hearing about openings and things. But in general, it's still a tough market. And then as far as, you know, creativity and ways in which to get jobs, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is that it really depends on the individual who's out there. There's different people who have different strengths and different things that they can bring to the table, different levels of creativity that they can bring to the table. And so if you can find some way in which is really unique and helps you to stand out and helps you to become somebody that is able to project their personal brand, is what I call it. If you're able to do that, you know, figure out what way that is for you, and don't necessarily take everything that Doug says to do, because I'm giving kind of general advice and general ideas and hopefully triggering something within them to be able to figure out what it is that's unique about them and what it is that makes them stand out and special.
So the last time I remember us talking about, like, adding pictures and, you know, even doing more like a postcard almost thing. Are you noticing that is becoming more normal? Because I've actually heard a lot of people talking about that in the last probably 6 months.
Yes, I've seen people doing that a lot more, but I'm still seeing the same results. I think it's a novel enough idea, and it's not an idea that you can just quickly whip out. It takes a little bit of time to put together a postcard. You have to figure out how you're going to get it printed, what it's going to look like, who's going to, how you're going to deliver it, if you're going to do it by hand, how you're going to get a list together if you're going to mail them out. There's a lot of different factors involved, and there's a lot of hoops to jump through. And so it's not an easy process, but it always, almost always pays dividends. People who send those out almost always get interviews, subbing work, and just a lot of attention in general. People will compliment them on, oh, wow, what a creative idea. And so it's still a novel enough idea that I think a lot of hygienists that are looking for work should really consider using it. And because it is, there are some extra hoops to jump through, I think not everybody is using it. And so there's definitely some opportunity there, and I think people should continue to consider it.
So that's for the clinician. Are you helping others get
right.
work on the non-operative side of things and getting out of the op? Is that the big term these days?
Yeah, definitely. There's been a large influx of people who are interested in my skill set to be able to help them find a job outside of clinical work. As both of you know, there are a lot of hygienists who are suffering from a lot of back pain and neck pain and these kinds of issues. And so it's difficult for them to envision themselves continuing for much longer. And so they're almost desperate, looking for something that they can utilize their skills in dental hygiene, their clinical skills, into something that would be relevant to them outside of the clinic, and also to be able to leverage those skills. That takes a little bit of thought in how you're going to do that. And there aren't a lot. I shouldn't say there aren't a lot of opportunities. There are a lot of opportunities, but they're all very unique in their own way. And so you have to basically target what it is that you want to do ahead of time. You have to know what it is you want to do. If I want to be a sales rep, or if I want to be in academics, or if I want to be in some type of administrative role, you really need to know what that is first, so that you can target that on your resume, and also in how you approach your networking, because that impacts a lot of people's job searches as well. So yes, I am doing a lot of that. In fact, it used to be about maybe 5 or 10% of my business, and now it's about half, roughly.
So, wow.
So you talked a little bit about networking. What are the kinds of the things that you're seeing that people are successfully doing as far as networking?
You know, I think it's becoming more and more important to do it online. You can do it in person, and you should do it in person as much as you have time. But people are so busy these days, and there are plenty of opportunities to be able to network with people online, network with employers, with colleagues and others that will be able to help you, even like a sales rep who is visiting your office. It's good to network with them. There's just a number of different online ways and tools in which to network with people. And I think, you know, through Facebook and through LinkedIn and even Twitter to some extent, and maybe even Instagram, there are definitely some opportunities to do that.
Have you noticed one platform being utilized more than others? So like, is Facebook usually more popular, or Twitter, LinkedIn?
Yeah, Facebook by far. Facebook just has a really good community for dental hygiene in general. And you see this throughout Facebook. There are so many dental hygiene groups out there. I mean, literally hundreds of them. And it just provides a really good platform. People are already there. I've seen people try to create networks outside of Facebook, outside of social media in general, just on a website, you know, have a forum or something. And it's tough to get people to go there where they're already on Facebook. You've got this group, it's the information from the group is feeding through your normal feed. It becomes a part of your day. And so Facebook has really been a great conduit, I think, for people to use. I don't think Twitter so much. LinkedIn, to some extent, there are some people using it, but not near to the level of Facebook.
Yet. No. Not at all.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's hard because, yeah, like you said, it's already kind of integrated into our daily life that it's not that hard to take one more step. But it is kind of difficult to kind of go into a whole nother offshooting. Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah, and LinkedIn, you know, LinkedIn is trying. I mean, they're trying to find ways to get people to engage. And they're having some success. I'm seeing a little bit more engagement now than I was maybe 3 years ago from dental hygienists on LinkedIn. And I'm pretty active on LinkedIn, but it's still nowhere near to the level of Facebook.
I feel like I've seen it come up more and more, where when the question is asked, how do you network? How do you do all these things? That LinkedIn is kind of starting to climb up the rungs a little bit, if you will.
Yeah, it's a free profile. You should create it. It's one of the first things that come up when an employer does a search on you. You know, if they're looking for Andrew Johnson, they're going to look on Facebook, they're going to look on Google, type your name in, and one of the first results is probably going to be LinkedIn. And so they have a really good foothold on search engine optimization is what they call it. And it will oftentimes pull you up as one of the first places to, you know, one of the first links. And so that is a good place to be for sure. You should have a filled out active LinkedIn account, but whether or not you actually participate in it a lot, I don't think that's an absolute necessary. I think it can help, but not necessary.
You're there for one reason on LinkedIn. And for Facebook, you're there for so many reasons, Twitter, right. Instagram. But when you look at LinkedIn, I mean, you're there for professional reasons. And so you should put yep. like your best foot forward there. And if you're looking yep. for job changes and things like that, that should definitely, I think, be the first place that you go.
Yeah, if you don't have on there a full profile, I shouldn't say active,
right.
but a full profile with all of your work history, with all your education history, it even has a place for a picture, you're really setting yourself back. You're really giving yourself a disadvantage because an employer will look at that and say, gosh, I wonder if they don't know much about LinkedIn or if they're technologically not sound or savvy. And so you don't want people to make those kind of conclusions about you if they're not accurate, right?
Right.
So it's best just to fill it out. It doesn't take that much time and it doesn't cost anything. So just do it and get it over with and then you'll at least show up professional there.
Do you have a recommendation on how often you should be updating things on social media, LinkedIn, or otherwise?
I think the more that you participate, the more you get out of it. It's just like in-person networking. If you sit around on the outside of the room at a conference, you're not going to get a whole lot out of it. And so I would say if you're actively participating, you know, on a daily, if not weekly basis, that's going to increase your odds of making that right contact for you that will lead to a job. So just the more the better.
That's
I mean,
point.
You don't want to go crazy
doing
strange things, you know. But
you don't want people to know that you're online all day long without a job because that doesn't look good either.
Yeah, right. You got to be smart about it. You got to be intelligent. But at the same time, quality or quantity is a very big important factor in social media participation.
Mm-hmm. In the past 18 months, Doug, it seems like things have been going pretty well, though, for you. What kind of changes have you seen in your business?
Well, like I said, just the number of people coming to me that are wanting out of clinical work and needing a resume or a cover letter help, that's been huge. But I've also gotten a little bit more involved in helping people with general marketing, people who are dental hygienists. I always stick within the dental community, but people who are dental hygienists, who are professionals, who are wanting to get out of the operatory, work in more of like a coaching setting, or maybe they want to work as a speaker or something like that. I've been helping several of them build their own profile, their own business, because I've basically done the same thing already. I built a coaching business for dental hygienists. And so I have a little bit of knowledge on how to do that. And so I've been happy to help several of them build a website and other materials that will help kind of get them launched as well. So that's something that's definitely been growing as well, in addition to just helping people with their resumes and things like that.
Yeah, I've seen your name come up quite a bit in that Trapped in the Op Facebook group. Maybe you can inform our listeners a little bit about what your thoughts are on that group.
It's a very energetic group. Seems to be a very positive group. They are engaged in the profession, the dental industry. They really want to continue to work in the dental industry, but they're just, you know, not necessarily looking to stay as a clinician. So I mean, by and large, I've seen a lot of positive energy from the group, and it's been fun because a lot of them seem to be more action oriented. They seem to be interested in taking the steps necessary to land a job. And so that's very gratifying for person like myself who's trying to push them in that direction.
Well, and yeah, I think we don't always have the writing skills that you do either. And so it is nice to have at least some like a framework, you know, for what that looks like. And if you have these people that have been in the op for decades in some cases, I mean, that is a hard starting point. You know, like, geez, I got to write about myself. and then be creative on top of that. So it is nice that you are someone that they can go to help like kickstart that.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of them, they don't want to talk about themselves in glowing terms. It's just, they're very humble, very salt of the earth type people. You all are. And it's a lot easier for them to come to a person like myself who,
Andrew's saying he's so the much, salt of Andrew, the earth right? and I suck is what Andrew just said.
Yeah, I was pointing to Michelle and be like,
well, me, right? salt of the
earth. Michelle, not so much.
Hand signals via a video. Andrew just told me I sucked and he was awesome.
Yeah, that was not very subtle, Andrew.
I wasn't trying to be.
All I could say, own it, you know.
That's how we have our fun around here.
Sorry we interrupted you with our terrible.
He's already seen this before. It's fine. Video.
Yeah. Now I'm going to do a video or an interview in person at some point, right?
Oh, we would love make that happen. Yeah.
When are you going to come out to a show?
Well, I'm hoping next year. I've been invited to Under One Roof this year, and I can't make it this year.
Oh,
but next
bummer.
Year, the person that invited me wants me to try to make an effort to come. And I would love to. I mean, just the fact that
good
I would
show.
See so many of the people that I've worked with, you know, that I've been able to help or that I've just interacted with in some way. It would be so much fun for me, and I really am going to try to make an effort to do it. It's always hard to know what the travel schedule is going to be with my day job, and so I have to take that into account. But at the same time, I've got to figure out a way to do it at some point. I just got to do it.
Yeah, you're very similar to us, where this is not our day job. Like you what we're interviewing on is not your day job.
No,
this is my hobby.
That Michelle went through just yeah, all of these four people because we had an interview before you as well, and just like, and we have an interview tomorrow at like 11 o'clock my time in the middle of the day. It's like, it's so hard to get some of our schedules down. But you know, Doug, I was going to tell
you.
I
don't know how you guys do it.
Sometimes we don't. Michelle. That's the problem.
I was going to tell you though, Doug. You know, there's two other conferences. Mm. If you guys wanted to, Tracy, right? Tracy's your wife?
Yes. She's here somewhere. I told her, hey, you ought to come and join in this interview. And she's like, not sure if she was camera ready or not, but I told her she'd do it anyway.
I was going to tell you, though, we have Europario is a conference in Amsterdam next June. Or what's the one, Michelle, in it's the International...
Oh, the
Dental Hygiene Symposium.
Federation?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think they're correlated.
European Federation of Periodontology?
No. That's different. But it's one that's in Seoul, South Korea, Doug. How's that sound? In 2019.
In 2019.
So you and Tracy start saving your pennies and we can go to that.
Yeah.
Do an on location one. That'd be fun.
I've never even been to Asia, so that would be a double.
Nor have I.
I lived in Southeast Asia, so that works.
Maybe Andrew could show us around.
Well, no,
said with complete sarcasm.
Claire,
please picked up on that one.
Doug, do you know Claire? I feel like you might know her.
I'm cringing because she maybe have introduced herself, and I'm like, oh crap, did I just forget somebody that was important? But no, I didn't.
She is important, but it's okay. So she's going to be our Korean tour guide while we're there. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah,
you know, this
she's
is
great.
So
she's been there. I take it.
Ridiculous. Andrew has all these plans, and I literally have heard this like about a year ago. And it was like, oh, so now I'm going to South Korea? Okay, Andrew. Glad you got us a tour guide. You got all these.
Dublin, Ireland in 2021. Just throwing that out
there.
You
just have to show up.
Which I'm usually pretty good at. I'll just show up and talk. And that's kind of my.
Oh, hold on. That is not true, Doug. She is not good at that.
She doesn't show up.
Prepared. She has to have like a whole itinerary, a whole agenda, a whole this. And I'm just like, eh, whatever. Let's do this. I don't care. What are we talking about? I don't know. Let's okay. talk.
That is so true.
All right.
So,
well, sorry to take this really good informative interview and nosedive it like that. I didn't mean to derail us quickly.
Always no, digressing.
I'm happy to be derailed. Whatever works.
Well, you know, I have two questions to kind of wrap it up. One being, one I want to talk about, because I know you said this wasn't your expertise, but I want to get like just your opinion, because this was something I was on Facebook.
Is this the nose ring thing again?
No. The face tattoo.
The face, the teardrop.
Yeah. No, go ahead. Sorry.
But it is with the interview, and there was a lot of people talking on Facebook on from a dental forum and a dental hygiene forum. What are your thoughts on a hygienist wearing scrubs to an interview?
Scrubs to an interview.
Mm-hmm. Versus professional
well,
attire.
Certainly for a working interview, I would recommend mm-hmm. that. No, I think I would go with the professional attire if it's not a working interview. I think you want to dress to, you know, impress, and that's what the rest of the world does. I think anyway, that's been my impression for the over the years, is that if you really want to impress someone, you look as professional and sharp as you can. And so I would suggest dressing up. Yeah.
So and I would like to chime in, Michelle, and say, wear scrubs underneath, and then just like, all right, I'm ready to go working interview right away. Like Superman.
Like a blazer over your scrubs.
Breakaway. A breakaway.
Let's get down to business.
You want a working interview? I got your working interview. I got your business. I got your working interview.
That's right.
Well, I'll tell you, like, so I posted, it was already posted on a hygiene forum where every hygienist was like, professional, professional, professional. And so then I posted the same question on the dentist side of it. And their take was, I don't care. I'd actually rather see you in scrubs because that's how I'm going to see you every day. So if you are looking like your hair is in a nice, is pulled back off your face, like you're not wearing like excessive makeup, like, can I see tattoos, you know, which I think is a bunch of crap anyway, but it, you know, some people might think that that's a problem,
right?
But they were like, I want to see what you're going to show up to my office as every day.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting.
And that makes sense.
And I did not see it going that way.
Yeah.
Did not.
You know, I can see how that would make sense. I wouldn't try to argue it. I think it just depends. And you know, really, that same person that sees the person coming in scrubs and then sees someone else come in all dressed up, they might think differently when they actually see that happen in practice.
Agree. Absolutely.
It may make a little bit of a difference in terms of the impression. So I would just say stick with what's traditional there's other ways to stand out. I don't think you have to try to do something really wild or different with the way you dress.
I think a lot of it came from, you know, if I have an interview, I'm either coming on my lunch hour or I'm coming after work. And if I'm trying to do a lunch hour interview, how do I make that change? Because some people might not even want their current job knowing that they're out there looking. So, I mean, it's like a gas station change, a change in my car. Like, how do you make that happen? And so I think that's kind of where it kind of stemmed from. But, you know, I know where you're going. I think the biggest part, like, know where you're going. If someone's super conservative, if the dentist is actually the one that doesn't wear scrubs to work and they're wearing like, you know, professional attire, then you probably want to dress up for that. If you got the guy that's or girl, whoever, showing up where they are in scrubs, I don't know. But I don't want to digress because I know that's not your level of expertise. I always like to throw the interview questions at you. But
dressing like a woman is not my expertise, no. Although there are lots of men hygienists. Sorry, Andrew.
There are lots
not
of
includes
us.
You.
And I'm trying to befriend them all, one guy hygienist at a time. And I like to know
Andrew. How many are you up to?
How I am? I don't know. Ask Andrew, Mr. Jealousy over there.
Well, let's see. All of my friends, for sure.
One tier for every friend that I steal every night.
I can't have my own friends anymore.
I found quite a few. I was surprised. I didn't know that there was that many.
Oh, there's at least 400 in our Mr. RDH Facebook group.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
And nice. And that's just tip of the iceberg. Cause there's, you know, supposedly thousands of us out there.
Yeah.
But right. Michelle wants into that group so bad.
I do. I want to know. I don't like being on the outside. I want in. I want to know. I want to be involved. Delve into this male hygienist population. I feel like y'all are my people.
Yeah. So weird.
Yeah. All right. So, Doug, what fun, great future things do you have going on with your resume writing or anything just fun and upcoming projects?
Fun. I've already touched on doing a little bit of marketing work for people. I've enjoyed doing that. But I still love doing resumes. It may sound like I'm a really big nerd for liking to do resumes, but I really do.
Welcome to the nerd podcast.
You're not going to get judged.
Yeah. Right home.
We do a dental hygiene podcast, Doug.
So I get a kick out of doing it. It's fun, especially when I can create something that's really unique and different for a client, and then they come back to me 2 weeks later. They totally loved my resume. They complimented me on it, or they said it was because of my resume that I even got an interview. That gives me a charge because this has impacted people's lives. I mean, their income and their job satisfaction in some ways, if they're able to land the right job, that is. And so for me, that's just a huge kick. I just love doing it. I hope I never lose that feeling because it sure is fun. But I also like to do a lot of different things. And so I like to get involved in the marketing parts of people's businesses and helping new businesses, hygienists who are wanting to start a little coaching business or something. I love helping them to be able to launch that and put their materials together and talk about strategy and how they can get their message out and create the right kind of message to create some buzz for themselves. And that's a charge for me as well. So that's kind of my new stuff. I don't know if it's really that new, but that's what I've been kind of looking forward to each day as I wake up.
So, Doug, we really, really appreciate you even coming back on and doing this recap and everything. And so for those people who are looking to get their resumes and stuff, like how can they get in touch with you? I mean, this is not your full-time job, so we want to make sure that people keep that in mind, but like we want to make sure that they can find you, get a hold of you, and get all the good information that you got.
Sure. So it's my website is gethiredrdh.com, and they can go there and find the contact button and certainly contact me through the various channels there. Or they can email me just directly, doug@gethiredrdh.com. And I'm very responsive. They can even contact me through my Facebook page. I have a Get Hired Facebook page with, I don't know, I think it's a little over 3,000 followers now. And so I've got a number of people that contact me through there as well. So there's a lot of different ways. I'm responsive to all of them, usually within a few hours, if not sooner. And I'm happy to reach out and help whoever I can with whatever I can, not just resumes, but cover letters and other stuff as well.
And if I can put a personal plug in for you, Doug, you did my mom's resume when she was moving from Alaska to Washington. And one of the very first places she interviewed with, she got hired on, and she's still there. And that's really? Been what, over a year now. So
that's a good story.
Gave me another charge.
Nice.
Yeah. Personal experience. No, I appreciate that. And I that's what I keep doing. I just keep doing it because I get results, and that's just the bottom line for me. This matters the most.
Doug, we appreciate you so much. We're happy that we're friends with you.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks for taking a chance with us.
Oh, taking a chance? What are you talking about? It is the other way.
No way.
We don't feel that way for sure.
Not at all. Like, we didn't know what we're doing. We still don't know what we're doing. But
you came on with us. Pretty great product. Fantastic product. So keep going.
Thank you.
We'll keep on trying to get better. All right, Doug.
As long as you love what you do, it doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
The money will come, or whatever it is you're seeking out of this business, it'll come at some point if you have passion for it. So
just gotta figure out what we want out of this still. That's the hard part.
Fame. I want fame. I want power.
We definitely don't want that. Neither of those things. All right. Well, we've kept you enough for this night, and we appreciate you so much. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Listeners, I want to tell you a story. A story I found on the web, which makes this Scaling the Web with Andrew. So this week in Scaling the Web, I don't know why you're laughing about this. We promised last week that we would read the article that Matt Crispin gave to us. Well, he gave to all the different forums, and it talks about fluoride. It's from futurism.com. And there's a whole bunch of stuff afterwards, so I'll just put the link in the show notes. And it says, with 60 years of data and 3,000 studies, Australia declares fluoride, quote, completely safe. And the funny thing is, like, I know our listeners aren't going to know this. That's the second time I've read that. I think I said data the first time. I said data the second time. And I don't know why that's funny to me.
Potato, potato.
It just made me laugh. Okay. And I'm going to read this whole entire article because it's pretty short. We're going to start off with, we're going to skip the in brief part. Anyways, it says, a product of patience. Australia's National Health and Medical Research Council finally released its verdict on fluoride in drinking water. Analysis of 60 years worth of research and 3,000 studies, the largest and most comprehensive study to date, revealed that fluoride in drinking water does not cause cancer or lower a person's IQ under the levels used in Australia. Quote, it shows that community water fluoridation, as it's used in Australia today, is effective at reducing tooth decay and is not associated with any general negative health effects, says the NHMRC CEO Ann Kelso. Worldwide fluoride. Reports about the negative effects of fluoride were suggested by previous studies, in particular those conducted in China. Professor Clive Wright claims that these old studies were done using bad methodology and in areas where fluoride levels were up to 5 times higher than that of Australian fluoride levels in water. The study concludes that there is no connection between fluoride and cancer, particularly the two forms of bone cancer previously linked to it. Neither was there any IQ-lowering effects in children. Professor Wright explained that there was no difference in the IQ levels of school-aged children and adults from communities with water fluoridation and those without it. Rather than being harmful, fluoride used at optimum levels actually resulted in a 26-44% tooth decay reduction in children and adults. Currently, the recommended levels of fluoride in safe, potable water is set at an upper limit of 1.5 milligrams per liter, while the standard in bottled or packaged drinking water ranges between 0.6 and 1.1 micrograms per liter. These are based on standards set in the NHMRC's Australian Drinking Water Guidelines of 2011 and the Australia New Zealand Food Standards Code, respectively, as noted in the study. Of course, these findings are not exclusively applicable to Australia and can be applied to any fluoridated water supply. The American Dental Association advocated for fluoridation of public water supplies, citing the safety of fluoride, the dental health benefits, as well as the economic advantages of preventing tooth decay. The end.
Wow.
Way to go, Australia.
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking, too?
So I wonder how many hippies they got there that don't want fluoride.
Probably we have more here in Portland than they do in all of Australia. I think here's the other thing, too, that kind of made me think. You know, everyone talks about how, you know, it's cancer-causing, it's bad, it's blah, blah, blah. And it's interesting because the ADA supports fluoridation in public water supplies.
and they fight, and they're like, oh, the ADA is wrong. They're a bunch of liars. They're this and they're, you know, it's bad for you. It's bad for you. What? Why would they think that? Like, isn't that kind of contra whatever to the thinking? Like, shouldn't the ADA, like, so if the ADA changed their stance and said, you know what, fluoride is bad, would everyone turn on their head and be like, oh, yeah, you guys just want more money. You guys just want more people to have decay. No, we need fluoride. Like, are they just being
controversial?
Oh, like,
God, I'm sure they'll be fighting both ends of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Anyways.
But, you know, in the same breath, everyone's like, the ADA seal of approval is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, meh.
It's the American Dental Association, which is funny because, like, I guess people don't really think about what that actually means. It's just the mm-hmm. association. It's like the professional. It's like the ADHA. It's the professional organization. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like it's.
Yeah.
And while, you know, they, like, we know, like, you know, we have certain standards and things that are kept. Like, for them, they don't realize it's just the professional organization. It's not like a government run anything. It's just a professional right. organization. It's very weird. Anyways, that's all. The end.
Good job.
It's about that time. Grab your blanket and a glass of wine. It's story time with Michelle.
Okay, so we're going to continue on with communication skills for dental healthcare providers. But I'm going to skip chapter 7 because I think for next week's episode, it would be a much better thing because it talks about HIPAA and stuff. So we have, I'm going to leave that. Okay. All right, so chapter 8, interacting during and after procedures, which I thought was an interesting chapter. So why interacting during and after procedures matter? For both patients and providers, treatment planning is too often the focal point of the entire consultation. As a result, the interview, procedure, and diagnosis are neglected or completed too rapidly. In chapter 7, which we'll look at next week, we're going to talk about going through a thorough health history. Just as important is the communication that takes place during the examination or procedure. Whether patients are undergoing cleaning, extraction, root canal treatment, or something more extensive, providers should build on the positive foundations established during the initiating and interviewing phase. Providers must resist the temptation to begin treating patients as a mouth as soon as the chair reclines. This temptation to objectify patients is strong because providers are performing clinical work, so clinical skills of observation and objectivity are needed, and because patients have limited ability to respond. Providers should remain aware that patient-centered care requires them to treat patients as people at all times. Further, the effectiveness of any treatment plan hinges on both clinical and relational communication. Clinically, an accurate diagnosis and the patient's capacity, willingness to implement treatment determines its effectiveness. Relationally, providers' attitudes of sympathy and their establishment of informed relationships with patients are associated with oral hygiene adherence. You know, that's big in my wheelhouse, but I also do kind of fall back, especially when I'm running behind on, like, just open your mouth, say no more words to me. I got shit to do. Like, I need to get things done. Effective communication during the procedure and diagnosis is therefore crucial to the treatment planning that follows. It may also save time, as examinations and procedures usually provide dental professionals extended lengths of time in which to present information to dental patients who have little else to do but pay attention. Too often, this time is wasted by providers who either remain silent throughout the procedure or engage in a lengthy monologue unrelated to the task at hand. Neither approach facilitates patient-centered care, and both may actually undermine it by making patients nervous or fearful. In this chapter, we propose an alternative approach for communicating with patients during examinations. Hey, did you see in one of the forums that somebody posted something from Dear Abby and was talking about their hygienist?
I did not see that.
I really hope somebody's going to write Dear Abby on her nonsensical recommendation, but it was just talking about, like, my hygienist wants to go into these long conversations and chit chat, and, like, I just need to be in and out. I mean, it shouldn't be much more than 30 minutes. I thought that was hilarious. Now, granted, I also think what they talk about, this, like, long, lengthy monologue or finding out about the grandkids and that takes the entire appointment, I think that's crap. I think you are not doing your job as a medical professional, but You know, I also worked in another office or temped where the hygienist said, my job here is to build relationships.
Well, like, and there
well
was,
you do you.
There was another post that someone said something about, I mean, I know they weren't trying to come off like this, but they're like, well, I don't understand. I'm a new grad and it only takes me, you know, half the amount of time that these older hygienists take, blah, blah, blah. And then all the responses were, well, they're probably just building relationships. They're probably doing this. They're probably working on rapport and patient retention and all of those aspects. So yeah, probably the physical act of cleaning their teeth doesn't take that long, but they're doing all these other things instead.
I think that there's a lovely, healthy area of being friendly, but being a medical provider, I think, should be first and foremost, at least for me. That's how I'm going to practice.
Because you're very black and white like that.
You do you, whatever that is. So when we look at the chapter checklist and we talk about communicating during procedures, it says you want to remain aware that the patient communication occurs even when the provider is not speaking or listening, to make sure that the patient sees you wash your hands and don your gloves, notify the patient before you recline the chair or adjust the head or armrest. You want to coordinate, meaning practice smooth patient hands off from one practitioner to another, disclose oral health status clearly, discreetly, non-judgmentally, and in the presence of the patient. You want to treat the patient as a member of the dental team, which is interesting. Avoid overuse of the first person plural, i.e. we. Say nothing in a patient's presence that would alarm or offend them. Acknowledge the patient's presence and use eye contact to indicate when you are speaking to the patient and minimize interruptions. You also want to instruct, so determine the patient's control preferences and politely direct a patient who has lower control preferences. Tell the patient what is expected of him or her, clarifying specific expectations. You want to politely instruct the patient on how to facilitate the procedure, avoiding single word commands. Sit, stay. Don't do that. And then soften your vocal tone. Yeah. Soften your vocal tone and say please and apologize when a mistake is made, which is really funny because I was taught not to do that in hygiene school. Were you taught that? Because then that implicates yourself that you made a mistake.
Yeah. I mean, there were some trigger words like, yeah, oops, whoops, ouch. That must have hurt.
That wasn't supposed to happen.
But yeah.
Whoopsie daisy. Yeah. So we also want to be calming, project calmness and confidence, minimize nervous behaviors and avoid internalizing a patient's anxiety, emphasize with the patient's anxiety, but model confidence. And again, that goes back to making sure that you're well versed in your information. Then you want to monitor, observe the patient's nonverbal behavior for signs of distress, offer breaks when needed, designate a hand signal for the patient to request breaks, which we kind of talked about in last week's episode. And then you want to narrate, describe what you are doing as you do it, describe what you are observing unless it will cause distress, and offer praise and compliments on every patient's in-chair behavior or oral health and habits. Praise and compliments. I'm going to look those up. You also want to educate. Avoid dental topics that will agitate the patient. Describe the etiology and risk factors and observed problem. And explain the consequences if no treatment is undertaken. Mention that prevention and or restorative treatment options are available and summarize them. And I think I'm going to skip through. So it talks about diagnosis and prognosis. It talks about understanding patient motivations, but then it also talks about finally instructions for routine care. So you want to instruct the patient in proper oral hygiene during the discussion of diagnosis and prognosis. And I think that is a skipped or brushed across like quickly step in our procedures, mostly because I think we just don't have the time or whatever. You want to provide spoken instructions to an adult with adequate cognitive and literacy skills. Use positive reinforcement, which enhances all instruction strategies. And when determining which strategy to use, employ a trial and error approach and combine instructional techniques. So do the tell, show, do. You want to teach back, so teach in or demonstrate a skill, and then ask the patient to teach the lesson. Hand over hand, which I do this all the time. Place your hands over the patient's hands, perform the task, and narrate the instruction with positive feedback. And you want to break the skill into component task. Tell the patient what you are about to do and then teach each component and move to the next component when the previous one is learned, asking the patient to perform the entire skill independently. So that's a that's real big in my wheelhouse and what I often spend more time doing than maybe getting the last little bits of stain off of people's teeth. I'm like, eh.
Well, I feel also with the patients that you're seeing, there's disease present. And so this is going to be a certain percentage of your patients that you'll be doing this with, which is, you know, can be a lot of your patients throughout the day. But not all of your patients are going to need that type of coaching.
No, definitely not. So that was great. And I will say at the, we had Angie and Doug, and poor Doug made the effort to record on his end. And because we are jinxed by the podcasting gods, we gave him our bad luck with audio. So you kind of got the go-to meeting. Interview there. So the quality wasn't exactly what we always want it to be, but thanks for trying, Doug. We appreciate
It was just good catching up, you know.
It's like, yes, it was.
I know that we're, you know, I always get in trouble for saying this, but we don't do this for the listeners. We do it for us. And you guys just happen to be able to listen into what we talk about. So
I know,
you know, I know it sucks on your guys' end sometimes when the audio quality doesn't come through, but I'm just so happy that we had a chance to talk to him again.
I agree. So good episode. Love a recap.
Yeah, buddy.
All right. Well, see y'all next week. Bye, y'all.
Bye.